Pastor Tim was, he made my job very, very easy this morning because he gave me a very clear set of verses and a clear direction. So that made it really simple for me as I was stewing on this for the last couple of months. And he said, Trevor, I want you to preach from Psalm 139, verse 7 to 12, and with a heavy dose of how this scripture weaves its way into your personal story. I'm like, well, that's pretty simple. But before I jump into that, I'm going to need a few volunteers. There's going to be a little bit of audience participation here. I need a preteen who is willing to come up here and read some verses for me. And after that brave preteen, I'm going to need somebody in their 20s to come up and read the same scripture. And then I'm going to ask for a grandmother. I'm not going to name an age, but just a grandmother. I want to hear the same scripture through a number of different voices. So is there any preteen that would like... I wish I had a prize. I've got a hand right there. Let's do this. You got this memorized, right? See that? Verse 7. The end of verse 12. Got that?
Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely your darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you.
Awesome, thanks, man. No applause. Now, somebody in their 20s. Don't make me fall into old.
Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you.
Awesome, thanks. And last but definitely not least, I need a grandmother. Come and join me here. And if not, we're going to make the grandkids drag a grandmother up here. There we go.
Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like day, for darkness is as light to you.
The psalm writer is asking a rhetorical question, and I think we know where this is going, but where can I go from your spirit? And I had intentionally asked for all generations to be identified because there's so many different facets to this. In the psalm that we read, he talks about locations. So he talks about the heavens, talks about the depths, He talks about circumstances. He talks about like night and darkness. And I'm not going to jump to the tail end of it, but basically, what I'd like to do is piggyback off of a story in Joshua 4. In Joshua 4, it's the story of the Israelites. They've spent 40 years wandering around in the desert, and it's finally time to enter into the land that God has promised them. And what he does is the Lord commands that the people of Israel to head in, but the priests set foot into the Jordan. Waters part, kind of like the Red Sea, and they stand, the priests stand in the center of this river. And then he says, choose a man from each tribe of Israel and pick up a rock from the center of the river, carry it on your shoulders, and make a monument there to me so that when your kids ask, when they pass by, they're like, what is this big pile of rocks doing here? You'll be able to tell them the story about why this pile of rocks was there. And it's a very important pivot point in the story of Israel, because it's an ushering out of the desert and into the land that God had promised them. And for me, I'd like to sort of tie the two together. Where can I go from your spirit? And so would you join me in my life journey? And I can testify through every one of these moments, just like the psalmist, that God was there. Your spirit was there. So the spirit was there when I was 7 years old. Are there any 7-year-olds here? 7 or 8? No 7 or 8-year-olds? Almost 7 or 8, there we go. When I was 7 or 8 years old, I don't remember exactly when it was, my dad was diagnosed with cancer. And at that point, as a kid, I didn't know what was happening, but later on I found out that they didn't give him much time to live at that time. And as a kid, I was kind of oblivious to it, but I remember that God was with our family during that time. And eventually, Dad came home from the hospital, and I was blessed with 25, 30 years of a relatively healthy dad in my life. The spirit was there in my teenage years as I struggled through addiction and basically everything pulling me and turning me away from God. And he was also there. Do you remember Elizabeth Remple? Elizabeth Remple, for those of you that don't know, she was like a she was a missionary, she was an educator, and she was a teacher at the school. And when I was in school, she was one of my resource teachers. And the spirit was there when I was 18, 19 years old. I was a banker at the credit union, and this little woman, she was probably this tall. She came up to me as an 18, 19 year old, and she looks up to me, and she delivers a prophetic word to me. And her word was, Trevor, what a waste of your gifts. The Spirit was there. The Spirit was there in my life shortly after that, not immediately after that, when the Lord, through probably the clearest that I've ever heard him speak in my life, told me, quit your job and go to Bethany. Bethany's a Bible school. He pulled me out of a season of numbness, of distance from the Lord, distance from all relationships in my life, and he drew me into a life journey of pursuing and following him. Shortly after that, the Spirit was there when, at Abundant Springs 2001, God got a hold of me in a way that I won't ever want to forget. Day one, experienced the power of repentance and forgiveness and freedom from sin. Day two, watched as the Spirit of God displayed power over the demonic in a kid that was there. And day three, a call on my life to love and serve people in ministry. And it was this season where God was pulling me out, in a sense, from wandering in the desert, and into a new season in my life. He was there later that fall when I packed up my little 95 Monte Carlo and drove myself to Bible school. And he was there, the Spirit was there, as he gave me the opportunity to dedicate a season of my life to just nourishing my soul, digging my roots down deep into everything that he had for me. And it was a season of growth in a greenhouse. It was a safe environment for me to grow, to learn, to be convicted of sin, and to develop ministry opportunities. That summer, the following summer in 2002, the Spirit of God was with me when I failed miserably. I had sort of like a Peter walking on the water moment. I was in the home of a Japanese family, and they had been coming to our English class. And out of the blue, they asked me through their broken English to share the gospel with them. And in my heart, in that moment, the risk, or the invitation, I just felt that still small voice say, just speak, it'll come out. And I chickened out. And I honestly believe that if I had just opened my mouth and stepped out onto the water in a sense, that God would have given me the ability to just share the gospel and they would have understood. I've worked through that. I've repented of my lack of faith over that. And I trust that one day I'm gonna meet Kimi Kawajiri and her husband, who is an ice cream factory owner, which was awesome because I got to test everything that they had made at their factory. But I trust that God can still redeem our little failures and that he's still at work in their lives. That fall, September 11th, 2002, the Spirit was with me as I kneeled in the back of the Bethany Chapel in my second year of Bible school, and the Lord invited me to love and serve Muslim people. And as scary as that was, it was so reassuring to know that he was with me. The next year, the Spirit was also with me as I had an engagement ring burning a hole through my pocket, and I asked Rebecca to marry me. The Spirit was with us as we walked down the church aisle to this Psalm 2 that says, ask of me and I will give the nations to you as an inheritance. He was with me, the Spirit was with me as we spent our first year of marriage in the Democratic Republic of Congo amidst civil war and unrest, riots, soldiers and police officers that were not, that didn't have all their scruples, and it was intense, difficult year, but the Spirit was with me. The Spirit was there. The Spirit was with us as we moved back home to Canada and kind of entered into a season of trying to figure out where are we going, what are we doing. And in that season, the Lord blessed us with our firstborn, Isaiah. And I remember the Spirit was with us at midnight after laboring for an hour, and suddenly nurses and doctors scrambling around the bed and rushing Rebecca into an emergency C-section. And half an hour, 45 minutes later, the Spirit was there as I got to hold my son. Dads, is there anything better than that? The Spirit was there a year later when he invited our family to sell our home, quit my job, and to pursue him in mission. And we moved our family over to BC, and it was an exciting time of preparation, of getting ready to go. And the Spirit was also there that following spring when we had our dreams dashed against the rocks when the leadership team said, we're not sending you. And that was one of the most difficult times in my life. I don't think I've, outside of funerals, I don't think I've cried as much as I did during that season. The Spirit was there as we begrudgingly settled down in Abbotsford and served a North Africa project that we didn't really have a heart for. And the Spirit was also there during those years where we had the boom and bust of joy and excitement of getting pregnant, and then the devastating loss of miscarriage, one after the other after the other. And the Spirit was there at the highest of those highs, full of hope and excitement, and also at the lowest, darkest, dark times. The Spirit was there when, a few years later, God saw fit to send our family to Turkey. And the Spirit was there when, on the first moment I stepped out onto the street, I knelt on the ground and kissed it and thanked the Lord for his faithfulness in carrying us to the land that we had felt him calling us to. The Spirit was there not even a year later when we had the little gift of an ICU baby after the doctors had told us that outside of IVF and all sorts of other stuff that we'd never have a kid because of all the miscarriages that we have in between our children. And when I brought little Kyra home, he was the Spirit there, and I held her in my baseball glove because she was so tiny. The Spirit was there when I was leading a prayer meeting at the YWAM House of Prayer in Istanbul, and my phone had been off all day, and suddenly I turned my phone on and there was like 10 messages from my family saying that my mother had been in a horrific car accident and they didn't know if she was going to make it. And the last message I had was, they took her away in a helicopter, we're not sure what's happening. Being at a distance, feeling helpless, when your dear mom is, you don't know if she's going to make it or not. The Spirit was there in that uncertainty and that desperation. The Spirit was there, The Spirit was there as I sat beside my father in the last 10 days of his life and watched a strong farmer man that I idolized wither away and die from cancer. And then my mom had her accident. The Spirit was there after we had spent time acquiring language and getting engaged in the culture, and we saw this little fledgling church plant start meeting in the apartment of a rented apartment in a foreign land, and it was a beautiful thing. The Spirit was also there around that time, just as we were getting the church plant going, as I was standing at Starbucks, and I got a frantic phone call. I don't know what the doctor is saying to me, but I heard the word cancer, you gotta get here. The Spirit was there through 6 months of surgeries and back and forth and exhaustion, and he was there through the hands of people that came to care for us, people that sent practical things to help our family during that season. And on the third surgery, the Spirit was there as I looked into the ICU with tubes coming out of the woman I loved and I didn't even recognize her. And in that moment, in my brokenness, the Spirit was there with me. The Spirit was there as we pulled up our roots one more time from a land and a ministry that we had fallen to love, and we resettled, and that was hard. But God was also there with us through every step of that journey. And the Spirit of God was there when we pulled our young kids around us and told them that mommy's cancer was back and that there wasn't going to be too many months left. The Spirit was there as we celebrated her life. We saw how the hand of God had worked in her and through her to touch hundreds and hundreds of lives. And the Spirit of God was there as we navigated what it looked like to be a family of three, single parenting, and being exhausted and lonely and tired, walking with two kids who didn't understand why God took me. And He was with us. He was with us 6 months later when we fulfilled one of Rebecca's dying wishes to go have a grand adventure. And as we sat beside the beautiful, beautiful walkways of Venice, Italy, the Spirit of the Lord placing hope in my heart and the sense that, God, I don't want to walk life alone. And the Spirit of God was there when godly, beautiful woman popped up on my Facebook feed of all things and led her into my life. And God was with us as we navigated, and I'll say navigate, what it looks like to join two families together. God was with us when we navigated what it looked like for us to have a long-distance relationship. And as we got engaged, and as we navigated some, let's just say, difficult feelings for my kids, God is with us every step of that journey. The Spirit of the Lord was with us as we had the opportunity to baptize both of my kids on the same morning last year. And aside from holding your newborn child, I don't know if there's anything better than seeing your kids publicly say, I want to follow Jesus for the rest of my life. The Spirit of the Lord was with me when I was given the opportunity to become a steward of a very long local homegrown business in town. And very shortly after that, the Spirit of the Lord was with me when I saw Shannon walk down the aisle towards me and say, I do. And the Spirit of God was with us every step on that journey that took us to that place. The Spirit of God was with us when a few months back the four of us went back to Turkey, and we saw that there were now, in fact, three churches, and they were working on planting the fourth church. And God was sovereign, and He was in control through the ups and the downs, and the ups and the downs. Friends, through every heartache and every joy of my life, the Spirit of God has been there. And as I look back at the pile of rocks, if I do this exercise and you just place those piles of rocks, I can stand before you and testify He was there, both in the desert and in the promised land, in the middle of that river, in every season and every circumstance of my life. I want to encourage you, it's actually a really healthy exercise to step back and actually just write down what are the most joyful moments of your life and what were the most dark and difficult seasons of your life. Just actually put them down on paper and actually physically say the Spirit of the Lord was there. And so to answer the psalmist's rhetorical question of where can I go from your Spirit, what's the answer? Nowhere. Yeah, it's a resounding nowhere. There's no location on earth, no circumstance that we find ourselves in where the Spirit of God is not. And so what? You know, one of the most common phrases in Scripture, the Lord in Scripture has for us is, I am with you, I am with you, I am with you, I am with you. It's almost nauseatingly repetitive throughout the Scriptures that God wants to drive home this point that I am with you. I'm going to need a few more volunteers, very specific ones. I need a handful, I'd say three young men that have their dads here today. Are there any young men that have their dad here? Scott and Kev, yeah, let's do that. Carter, right? Dwight, you're coming up here, man. And I think I see Jordan and his dad here. I need all of you guys up here. Let's go here. So, sons, I want you to stand here. And dads, I want you to just put your right hand on your son. So, sons, what does that feel like to have the hand of your father on your shoulder? Good?
Yep.
Why?
Because you can feel that he's very good.
Yeah.
And good.
Yeah. Anything else? Reassurance? Yeah.
Secure.
Yes. I wasn't sure how this was going to go, but you guys are giving great answers. What do you feel? What emotion do you feel when the hand of your father is on you? Yeah. I'm not going to belabor it, but all wonderful things. Thank you, gentlemen. Can you go back down? In verse 5, just prior to this passage that we looked at this morning, it says, you hem me in before and behind. You have laid your hand on me. Later it says in verse 10, the passage that we read, it says, your hand will guide me. How many of you sons have had guidance from your father? Yeah, there's a lot of hands. Later it says, your right hand will hold me fast. Somebody mentioned secure. When we, as the children of God, believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that our God is with us, we can have that same assurance, that same safety, that same reassurance that our God is with us. Sons, when your dad put your hand on your shoulder, did you feel known? Like, my dad knows me. Yeah. Verses 1 to 5 of this passage. So if God is with us, step 2, that means that we are known by God. And the first 5 verses say, O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand on me. Because, friends, we are known by the Father who sits on the throne of heaven. Isn't that amazing? And so if God is with us and we are known by him, what does that say about our value in the eyes of our Heavenly Father? We are treasured. The last part of this chapter, the last part of the psalm says, Lord, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body, all the days ordained for me, every one of those piles of rock, every one of those rocks in that pile, all of the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to me. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. The Lord is with us. The Lord knows us. And the Lord bestows value onto us. And so if we walk with those three truths oozing out of who we are, what that does in our lives is it silences the contemptuous voice of Satan that would have us believe that we're worthless, or that we are unforgivable, or that we are ugly, or that X, Y, Z, you name it. When we truly know that the Spirit is with us, that the one who sits on the throne knows us, and that while we're in our mother's womb, that he placed value on our lives, it gives no space for the enemy to feed his lies into our hearts. And church, when we as a church walk full of those truths, we're in a position then to properly share that truth with those around us. So if we are known and we are valued, that also means that those that we don't agree with are known and valued. And the invitation to us then is to bestow that same kind of honor that God places on us to those that we meet. And when we walk full of those truths, God brings healing in our lives to the points of trauma, to the points of pain, to the points of separation from him. And as he heals us, he can make us vessels for that healing in the lives of other people. And so this morning, it's going to soon be after you, I would encourage you at your dinner tables, whatever you guys do, do this. Parents, share with your kids. Pile up some of those rocks. Maybe even go out and find some rocks and just tell your kids, hey, God was with me here. God was with me there. And let's instill this this kind of remembering God's faithfulness so that we pass that on to the next generation. Because as the psalmist says, where can I go from your spirit? Let's make sure that the next generation knows that there isn't a place on this planet. There's not a situation in our lives where the Lord is not. Us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, that in the darkest moments, you are present with us. And God, for those that are here this morning that are maybe in the midst of that, maybe they're facing a diagnosis or a circumstance, Lord Jesus, we invite you to bring encouragement. We invite you to bring hope, and Lord Jesus, more than anything else, we ask that you would enter into those situations and that they would experience your good presence with them. I pray, Father, for your blessing on all the kids here. I pray, Father God, that you would walk with them and that they would know you, and that they would experience you, and that they would follow you all the days of their lives, Lord Jesus. We pray this in the powerful name of the Lamb who was slain, but is now sitting on the throne. Amen. Oh, I got the wind. That's good. We had a little symbol here that if she winked at me, then she wanted to say something about her pain. And I got the wind.
This is really my way of worshiping. I really feel close to God when I paint. And it's been life-changing for me to realize when Shannon feels close to God when she paints. And what I often do in worship service is pray. pray really hard that I finish a painting. And this is a little rough, but as I was seeking the Lord, do you want someone to have this painting today? I thought of how I came to a place where I was ready to acknowledge that my family was a mess and I was a mess. And the Lord said, you know, I have been grafted into a new family. Your bloodline is actually coming straight from me. And you don't have to worry about all the stuff that happened. And so if that speaks to anyone, and you want a little memento, and you want to remember you're grafted into Christ's family, and all the other stuff he's working on it. please come up. The first one up will get the painting today. And it was really a blessing to be here.